Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA to receive $10 off at checkout. And by HipChat, collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at HipChat.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Squarespace.com, creating and editing your website is easier than ever with Squarespace 7. It's so easy that Jeff Bridges created his website, DreamingWithJeff.com. Try it now for yourself. Visit Squarespace.com and enter offer code AboutAndroid at checkout to get 10% off. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 199, one shy of the big 200. This is recorded on Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell, and I am joined by two awesome people because Ron is not here. It takes two people to fill Ron's shoes, of course. We've got on my left, Aaron Newcomb. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Also known as Double A Ron.
Double A Ron. That's right. Especially, particularly when Ron's not here.
That's right.
To fill the Ron quote.
Always first in the Yellow Pages.
That's handy. Or is it anymore? It's probably
not that handy.
Yeah,
probably not really.
Yeah. And then on my right, Miriam Jouar. Welcome back.
Hello. Two weeks in a row.
I know.
2 weeks in a row in the studio. What's going on?
Back to back.
I know.
Boom.
Hi, everyone. I'm happy to be here. It's always awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good to have you both here. It's nice to have an all-in-studio episode for a change.
I'm excited. Doesn't happen very often. Because we have continuity on the story we started last week.
True.
Which developed this week.
It's really true. It's like a developing story week after week. Of course, it still kind of continues to be more rumor than fact.
But we'll see. I was segueing for you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Did I fail? Was it too early?
It was a little too early.
A little too early.
we haven't even gotten to the news portion yet. I believe that's at the bottom of the news. But that's a good tease. If you don't know what we're talking about, of course, we're talking about Microsoft and Cyanogen. A little bit of a crazy story there that we'll get into detail on. We've got Samsung's upcoming Galaxy S6 announcement. A whole bunch of rumors floating around about that. That's going to continue through the rest of the month. Piracy on Android, which today has seemed like regularly is a hot button issue, but there's something interesting today that was in the news. And our favorite topic ever, platform distribution numbers. Don't you just love them? But before we get to the news, I think it's probably important, Brian, that we start with one of the most important developments in the world of Android as of right now. HTC is a company that's known for its development of just fantastic devices. And apparently, fantastic rap videos, if I do say so myself. This is off the hook.
Can we play this? Because I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
You haven't?
It's fantastic.
It's, I'll let it speak for itself. I'll let it rap for itself. Wow. A little aggressive, but
we HTC, and we're about to say it loud. HTC, we hold the crown. We're the Peter Chow.
Peter Chow made it in there. That's good for Peter. I wonder how much involvement Peter had in the making of the video. I don't know. It kind of hurts.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's something else.
Stunned into silence.
That's how we feel. Keep an eye on my HTC eye and just ignore what just happened.
Yeah, I don't think your HTC eye can save you from HTC's bad rap.
How
bad
that
prowess?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to wonder why. Why did HTC? Why is it just so that outlets will talk about it? We'll show it on the show, obviously, which we've done. We've given it
that
more eyeballs, but
more
why and why now?
Balls.
Why?
I.
Okay. keeps coming around.
It's not going to come out.
Yeah, it's a strange connection. I don't know if it's what they're intending.
I don't know. Is this just so random?
It's like, pretty bad, but I don't. I recognize one of the people in the video. I can't remember his name, but he's one of the people, I believe, in the PR marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm completely wrong. But so it's interesting because it's clearly something they just whipped together for fun.
Right.
Look, the reality is in PR, any advertising is good advertising.
True.
You know, like we're talking about it on All About Android as the first topic of news. It's working. I personally don't think it's very good, but I think maybe that was the intent. I think maybe that was the joke, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like
It had to have been a joke.
Obviously, I don't know. Like, does it matter? Do we care? It's a rap video. I think it's easy.
I mean, one thing that this does speak to is the ease of which social media can affect what happens. So as a company, you know, you're sitting in marketing or PR and you're thinking, you know, we have to control our brand image. We have to do all this stuff, right? And then someone comes up with this little goofy rap thing that they did, totally tongue-in-cheek, probably just completely joking. You know, Microsoft used to do these things for internal audiences only, and they would always leak out, even back in the day before YouTube. You know, these things would always leak out, these little internal jokes that they used to have. So I can see this being like, oh, hey, you know, this is funny, this is cute. We'll just throw it up on our channel, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody picks up on it and it's like, what's HTC thinking? Well, they weren't thinking anything. It's just stupid, right? I mean, they're just having fun.
Although nowadays marketing departments are all about creating
it can go
viral.
The other way. Yeah,
creating
it can go
something that's
the other
viral
way too. Absolutely.
And that's a big motivator for them is social networks are so powerful in their influence that if we can create something that's even so far as to be seen as cringeworthy and bad enough to reshare, then we've created a viral sensation that puts our brand top of mind for whatever reason.
Right. Is there any explanation in the video, like in the YouTube or whatever? Is it a YouTube? Is it a Vine? What is it like? Is there any
YouTube
kind of commentary?
It's a YouTube video.
I didn't go to the YouTube page specifically.
Maybe Brian can bring it up. Because I'm wondering, like, I want to know. My first thought is like a crappy rap video, whatever. Eyeballs on the brand, smart. But what camera did they use? That's what I want to know. What phone they use? Did they use an HTC Reed? Because I like my HTC Reed.
HTC says in the description of this video, PM Don's Doc G drops his HTC Anthem, Hold the Crown, with the help of HTC's own D2, the B. See the full doc interview here.
So
download
wait.
The full MP3 if you must have it on your
device.
That's sounding serious.
Did they say who from PM Don? The guy from PM Don? Do you remember PM Don? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember PM
Don.
It's
pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when we were young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is legit-ish.
So that is PM Don.
They were trying to be legit.
Now I have to look
they
it up.
They were so legit. They were too legit.
They were so legit that
too
they just need to quit.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
You had your finger ready. You were like, I know where they're going with
they
it.
They were too legit.
They were too legit. It's time to quit.
Not
HTC.
To quit. They need to quit.
All right.
So what if they had put Missy Elliott in this and then timed it with the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would that have been...
I think that would have been too serious.
I think instead of the two sharks, they should have had like... You know,
that would have been awesome. Smartphones.
They should have had Katy Perry as the HTC One, and the two sharks would have been, you know, the iPhone and
that would have been so
and,
cool.
And Samsung. That would have been.
See, we should
or
be
maybe LG and
we
Samsung.
Should be the creative department for HTC.
Jesus,
they should hire
people don't
us.
Pay me enough.
Yeah.
Turns out, in the world of viral video, even bad is.
I'm going to Google
is worth
searches
it for
HTC Rap video. So, guess what? The first thing I get is HTC Rap video is the video.
See, it's a big deal, and it's getting people talking about it. It's only going to last for a couple of days. But, you know, it reminds me of a lot of Samsung videos that we've seen as well, not just Microsoft.
But there's no intent or message here, which is bizarre to me. It's like you just randomly release this.
The lyrics show their intent. If you read through the lyrics, they say something about iPhone and...
So they make fun of Samsung and the Apple.
Samsung taking 6 years to get it right. Which, if I'm not mistaken...
Huh.
Says that they're agreeing to the fact that they got it right, so they're giving their competition a little bit of props right. there.
Well,
I don't
know. It's HTC; they're polite.
Yeah, they are kind of polite. It's true, gentle giant. All right, so that may have seemed like news, but it really wasn't. Now is the time for the real news.
Oh yeah.
If there's one segment that's too legit to quit, it would be Android News.
Oh, it's good to have you back. on the intro, Brian.
Glad to be back.
All right, so we'll start with everybody's favorite topic, and maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but it's Android platform distribution numbers. I think this is a good month, right? 3 months after Lollipop was officially pushed out and, you know, devices have started to get it. You know, the previous 2 months, it hasn't even appeared on here because the number of installs has been so low. It finally broke into the chart. Froyo is still at the bottom, still hanging in there at 0.4%, but Lollipop finally has 1.6% registering on the chart for the first time 3 months later. Jelly Bean still the most dominant, 44.5%. Kit Kat closely behind that at 39.7%. And then you got Ice Cream Sandwich and Gingerbread making up the rest. Should be interesting to see how much the Lollipop number jumps once Samsung's devices start to finally get it, which I think they're saying is happening very soon. I think I saw
Verizon GS5 is coming from what I read yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna start to see these.
So
jump.
Which phones actually? Does anybody? I mean, I'm sure somebody's kept track. XDA forums, I'm sure, has kept track. Mm-hmm. But do we know? Like off the top of my head, I know obviously all the Nexuses pretty much have gotten it. I mean, four on right, four, yeah. five, six,
yeah, from four.
Except nine,
have the
7, 9, 10. I don't know if the old seven. Anybody have an old seven? Anybody else?
The old seven has, but not the mobile versions.
Not right, the mobile that's network. The thing. That's, I was going to bring that up. It. Isn't that weird?
So not mm-hmm. the GSM versions, is what you're saying?
Yeah,
the GSM versions have.
Okay, so these have all gotten it. The Moto, my Moto G 2014 got it, which is the unlocked international version.
Yeah.
I haven't checked if my Moto G 2013 got it, but I know that they announced that they were going to launch it on the old one.
Too. My wife has the Moto X 2013, and it has not gotten it yet.
And I'm wondering if the G did, though. The X for 2014, I think, started getting it, right?
Yeah,
I think
on
so.
On some carriers.
So there's a decent
AT&T,
amount of devices
AT&T, which
that
is,
have
I
it.
Think, which is kind of unbelievable almost. I mean, it's AT&T. They're going to try to screw you every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like I'm actually amazed it's 1.6.
I am too.
Really?
I'm actually pretty amazed at how dismal this launch has been. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Lollipop.
Right.
But seriously,
it does
like,
seem
this
like it's taken longer to get at,
this
to this
terrible.
Point.
This is terrible. What do you think
surprised.
Is happening?
I just don't think the manufacturers are keeping up. I mean, like you said, Samsung. When Samsung goes, I mean, that number is going to. You know, go by 8X.
I'm really bringing up this
Samsung
issue
releases.
Because I think it is highly related to the conversation we're going to have about Microsoft and Cyanogen. I think Android has a problem right now. And I'm not saying that because I want to make trouble. Because I love the Nexus flavor of Android.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Android skin, I don't care about. I like the idea that you get a consistent user experience across devices that, as Google intended it, that meshes completely seamlessly with their services in a very integrated, vertically integrated way. And to me, when I use a Chromebook, an Android Wear device like a Moto 360, a Nexus device, all together now, I get
all
this experience.
Now.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried that we're starting to see some things that are kind of telltale signs that the big players are not on board with that. And perhaps this Lollipop uptake rate is related to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody wants their own kind of ecosystem and platform, right? Ultimately.
Sure.
And we all know that, you know, Apple's done it well and Microsoft's kind of struggling, and we'll talk about, you know,
let's talk about it now.
Solution.
I mean,
but it's interesting to me. Like, I'm kind of wondering if there's more going on here than, you know, than meets the eye overall.
So, Miriam, tell us kind of a little bit about what we know or what we think we know as far as the Microsoft Cyanogen story, because this definitely has broken since
So the rumor is that Microsoft is to invest in Cyanogen, right? And basically that it might be actually seeking to invest around $70 million in the company. And this is coming about 1 week after Kirk McMaster, the Cyanogen CEO, talked about plans to move Android away from Google, something we discussed on the show last week.
Right.
Notably, Windows Phone currently has about 3% market share. So that's kind of our talking points for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me that this news, this rumor, not news, rumor, came the day after we were talking about it. my take, remember, was, and I think we all more or less agreed, that it looked like Cyanogen was saying there are these untapped markets, India, China, you know, the developing nations or development markets that are ripe for a version of Android that doesn't need to play well with Android Google Play services. Mm-hmm. That can be kind of its own fork, like what Amazon has, really. Mm-hmm. And so to me, actually, I had this conversation with somebody on Google Plus the other day. I kind of see a world now where we have the Nexus Android, which is like the closest to the Google experience as Google wants us to have it, mm-hmm. which plays the nicest and the best, you know, plays along the best with Google Play services, where the apps are almost indistinguishable from the OS in a way. And then we have, you know, the status quo of like Samsung, HTC, LG, which are basically using Android as is, have Google Play services, but skin it. Mm-hmm. Then below that, you have the actual forking of Android, as Amazon is doing and some others.
Potentially,
right? Potentially. And then below that layer, you have BlackBerry OS mm-hmm. and Sailfish OS on the Yola phones, mm-hmm. which allow you to run Android apps with a Dalvik virtual machine. So to me, those are kind of like the four layers of Android.
You got kind of
emulation Dalvik at the bottom. Then you've got skinning, not skinning, but you have forking. Mm-hmm. And you have skinning. And then you have the pure experience. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see. Somebody needs to graph over time how these have changed. Mm-hmm. Because I have a feeling that what we're seeing is, of course, the skinning has been the majority. But where
that seems to be changing a little bit.
I think that's exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's changing. And at the same time, I think we're going to start seeing more forking going on. Certainly for the Chinese market and India, we're seeing, I mean, Nokia X is a perfect example of a fork, mm-hmm. right? That was an unsuccessful attempt to it. But now this talk of Sinogen, you know, wanting basically to do the same thing, to me is very interesting. Because my gut feeling is they're not going to, you know, they still want Sinogen to work with Google Play services for the Western world. Or maybe they're not going to care about the established markets like us.
Right.
You know, they're going to leave that to the existing players, and they're going to focus on these new emerging markets, emerging nations, and focus on that. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops. At the same time, what I'm really fascinated about is, can Sinogen Mod actually, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're actually going to try to take over Google in so far that it'll still work somehow with Google Play services, mm-hmm. and provide that as a viable forked alternative OS to the Android we know. Like, imagine if Amazon tomorrow said, yeah, we're not compatible with Google Play services. You can just install the apps, you know, or
not compatible. What do you mean by not compatible?
Right now, if you try to install the apps on an Amazon device, like Gmail, it doesn't work.
Right.
It's missing parts of, like, it's missing Google Play services and a bunch of other stuff that you need root level to install. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, imagine Sinogen Mod forks Android and makes it still work with Google Play services.
But Google wouldn't allow for that.
Well, maybe they won't.
Google has to.
But maybe they will.
Maybe they'll do it anyways.
That's what I'm saying.
If it's popular
and that's
enough.
Exactly.
If the user base is large enough, yeah.
That's the discussion I want to have is, what do you think the chance of it is of that happening, Aaron?
Well, I mean, this is the danger of, not danger, but I mean, this is what people are afraid of happening when you build something off of an open source platform.
Yeah.
And this is the classic example that always people come to me and say, well, what about Android? You know, I could just take that and run with it and blah, 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 you know. And normally the licenses are built, and even in this case, the licenses are built so that as long as you're basing it off of AOSP, right, the Android Open Source Project, there are bits in there that you, if you change in the way that I think you're talking about changing them to make them do the way you just explained it, you would have to contribute that back.
Right.
So you're free to change it. You can go ahead and change it. You can build on top of it. You can do all this stuff. But like Linux kernel, I mean, you can't just go in and change the Linux kernel without contributing back, because that's part of the license agreement. And then a lot of it's under Apache license, which is a little bit more free to do what you want. But there's good and bad. The bad, if you love what Google's doing right now and you don't want to see change, you know, you want them to continue to own it and keep everything the same, then you would be a fan of keeping it strict like that and making sure that people adhere to these licenses. But at the same time, these licenses also allow for creativity. So like you said, getting back to your final point in your argument, you know, if CyanogenMod takes this and makes something really cool that lots of people use,
right.
Then,
so that's what I'm imagining. Imagine Sinogen, with the backing of Microsoft, starts approaching Samsung and LG and says, guys, look, You know, it's us versus Android or Google, really, right? But we need Google Play services on the in the non-developing parts of the world. We need it. So why don't we make a version of Android that's forked, that we have full control over, and that it becomes we start putting it on our devices and we bundle it with Google Play services, compatible somehow. And Google won't let it happen, but we'll fight them on it. What's going to happen? Like, they can't.
Like, what's to stop them from just doing it anyway?
Exactly. And Microsoft is a big enough player that they actually could make it happen. There's a big, huge thing here.
Microsoft has a lot of Android patents under their belt.
Well, they have a lot of Linux. Well, they claim to have a lot of Linux patents.
But you know what I'm saying, right? There's, like, every time you, like, you know, isn't there, like, a licensing fee that they make off of Android, right?
Yeah.
So it's all tied to the Linux kernel.
This is kind of what I'm seeing happening. And perhaps that also explains, as I said earlier, the lack of uptake on Lollipop. Maybe all these negotiations have already been taking place in the back end. And why would that be? I don't know. Maybe it's Samsung who initiated it because they're pissed off at what Google did last year, forcing them to use... to get rid of the magazine UI and stuff. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing...
And we don't know really if that was a certainty, you know,
that there was an absolute agreement from that. Right? And then the other thing that I think is interesting is the rumors that the next Galaxy flagship, the S6, perhaps might actually come out as a pure device. And that in the same way, well, not pure, but like maybe a fairly lightly skinned TouchWiz device with apps you can install to add value, kind of like HTC does right now, right? And just to clarify in the chat room here, when I saw somebody says, does Miriam consider the top level of Android the AOS plan? No. AOS to me is a non-forked. So the two layers, the one with a skinned Android, like TouchWiz and... SenseUI, those to me are AOSP, but with a skin.
Right.
The purest version would be the Nexus version. Like, I'd almost consider Sony and Motorola somewhat, with their skin being so light and so little change, or like Yodafone, which is almost no change to be pure as well, pure-ish. Right?
Right.
They don't vary. Like, when you use a TouchWiz device, you actually have to consciously change your habits on the user experience.
Oh, yeah.
The back button is in the wrong place, as we all know, right? So things like that, to me, imply that you don't have a pure experience.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I should almost muscle memory use the phone. On an iPhone, I can go back to an iPhone 4 right now running iOS 6 and from muscle memory use the phone.
Mm.
I'll have to look at it. So whether that's right or wrong doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
And UIs evolve, but what I'm trying to get to is that that's kind of one of the parameters and by which I define the Nexus experience to be so awesome. For me, it's like it feels really consistent. It feels like a whole, not just this kind of assortment of things.
Right.
You know, and
it's grown that way over a long period of time. And thankfully, you know, OEMs and hardware manufacturers are finally embracing it.
So I want to ask you the question, Jason, and this is the thing. Microsoft's involvement in this is a whole new can of worms added to this. Right?
It really is. It's
because
confusing
to me,
can of worms.
Look, remember, I just want to remind people that I mentioned this last week as kind of a joke, but now it's getting... I'm wondering if, like, I've kind of predicted the future again because it's happened before. I predicted the Galaxy camera and it happened. Like, what if Microsoft is going to come out with Android phones running Cyanogen? I pissed off... whole bunch of people on Windows Central at CS on the podcast by telling them that, in my opinion, I love Windows Phone. I absolutely love it. But why not make an AOS Google Play Services capable phone?
Yeah.
Well, use the great hardware they have today and make that AOS Google Play
You're talking
services.
About Nokia
well,
device.
Lumia. Yeah, Microsoft devices. Lumia. Imagine you buy Lumia and you can run this OS made by Cyanogen, have Google Play services, and it's skinned like a Windows phone.
Yeah.
It's the best of everything. They just came out with the best email client for Apple, for iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Gmail client. So Microsoft makes the best Gmail client for iOS. Just wrap your heads around that.
Yeah, that is
so weird. They're not interested. It's not all about Windows anymore. A lot of people don't get this.
Well, but that's where I think you're wrong, because I think it is about Windows. It's about Windows 10, right? So the whole Microsoft's, you know, every time they say Windows 10, right, they talk about this unified experience. You go from your desktop to your phone to your tablet. It's all unified.
That's,
it all looks the same.
That's
it all
the
works.
Old Microsoft seeping through because they still have a lot of power
but
in the organization.
But they've got a lot of skin in
and
that
I'll
game
tell
right
you
now,
why.
Right?
Nobody cares. Look, as an ex-dev, I'm 100% behind you that Visual Studio and the Windows ecosystem is a fantastic development environment. I love the idea that I can write an app that runs on a phone, a tablet, a desktop, a Surface, a laptop, and an Xbox. It's phenomenal. But it's not reality. Reality is Android wins and potentially Apple wins in terms of mobile, depending who you talk to. Market share versus profit share. But the reality is Windows Phone doesn't stand a chance in the long run.
I agree.
Windows 10 on phones does not stand a chance. If you're Microsoft...
But is Microsoft willing to say that?
Your play is a platform play, an ecosystem play. You want OneNote, Office, OneDrive, whatever, to become kind of a popular thing. And you want Xbox Live and the whole live ecosystem and music and video around that to become popular. You don't care what OS it runs on. You don't care what platform it runs on. You, of course, continue making your OS. You, of course, continue making your devices like Surface. But you actually make a concession. Like they do already. The best Office is on iOS.
I agree with your argument. I think that that's exactly right. I just don't think Microsoft sees it that way. That's the problem.
Not yet.
Yeah,
I think Satya Nadella sees it that way.
They may eventually, but I think they've been working on Windows 10 for too long. They've invested too much time into it. And, you're talking about changing, a bullet train, doing a 180 because they are the operating system company. I mean, I get what you're saying about the ecosystem.
I think that changes.
I think it's going to be almost impossible for them to change in time to make it happen, to go from being this operating system-driven company to being the ecosystem company. Google came at it the other way around, right? They had the ecosystem first, and then they went into the platform. And they're starting to do that more and more. And I think it's interesting. They're going to meet in the middle somewhere, but I don't think Microsoft can change.
So to me, the only thing I can think of is the CyanogenMod mod play is exactly that. It's like, what if we can't get more traction with Windows 10 on mobile? We now have an OS.
Mm-hmm.
We now have an ability to take the entire ecosystem of awesome apps that we just can't get the developers to commit to, even though we give them the best development tools and a unified OS all across all the platforms. We can't get them to commit to them. Fine. Let them have Android apps. And if you do it right, and I'm sorry to tell you this, because I've been following Nokia forever, over 10 years, and they make the best hardware, period. If a Lumia today, like one of the flagship Lumias, ran Android, we would be all bending over backwards and running to stores, buying them in droves. Trust me, it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine they did that, and you could run your Google Play services, and you're done. And imagine now they can really start competing with Google because they can kind of integrate things even further, like put their service up to the forefront. And people
I just don't know if Microsoft was involved in that, if they would be able to go the route of making the device Google Play services compatible, especially if they're going against the Open Handset Alliance agreements of Google.
They probably wouldn't, but if CyanogenMod convinces enough people to use their OS and
to use their OS, which is obviously their intention. That's what they're talking about doing
right.
over the next 5 years.
Said,
it's interesting how it's all kind of coming
and then
together
whole
potentially.
Patent stuff, like yeah. the, not the patent, but the royalty stuff, right? That Microsoft makes all this money off of Android.
Yeah.
So they have
protected anyways.
What I'm saying is that they have leverage. They could go to Google and say, look, let's play nice here. Mm-hmm. You know, we can work this out, okay? Or we can just be hardcore, you know?
Right.
And right now they have nothing to lose because they don't really have a mobile OS that's worth anything.
Right.
Sure. Interesting speculation. At this point, it is purely speculation because we really don't have solid news, any sort of confirmation from either CyanogenMod or Microsoft that this is in fact happening. But it's not like it didn't come from a good source. It came from the Wall Street Journal. So we'll certainly see where this leads. But CyanogenMod, every week, more and more in the news about very interesting stuff.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I'll be curious to see in the long run how much they live up to that, their words and the hype, I suppose. Let's take a quick break before we get into our hardware and thank our first sponsor of today's episode. That's LegalZoom. What was actually at this point your top New Year's resolution? We're now a month into 2015. If you're like me,
getting your life organized is important. Absolutely. I'm always trying to organize my life. Where do you begin? Because it's super overwhelming. A great place to start is protecting your family. And a great way to take control of your family's future is by making a will or a living trust. It's what I did years ago through LegalZoom myself before I ever even worked for TWIT. And it was the easiest thing in the world. LegalZoom can help you do that. There's no easier way to make sure your family is legally taken care of. Getting your life organized also means taking control of your financial affairs. So if you're thinking of starting a business or you have one already, LegalZoom can help you form your business and provide the support you need to run it successfully. For more than 10 years, LegalZoom has helped millions of people get the personalized attention they need. And if you'd like more help, they can actually connect you with an independent attorney in more states, but they are not a law firm. It's important to remember that. But they can hook you up. They can put you in touch with the right people. Don't let another year pass you by before getting your life organized. For legal help you can count on for your family or your small business, go to LegalZoom.com, use the offer code AAA, and you'll receive $10 off at checkout. Protect your family and protect your future at LegalZoom.com. Offer code AAA, and you'll get $10 off at checkout. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. Thank you. And thanks for my the living will and trust that we have locked away. All right. Interesting stuff in hardware this week. Let's take a look. So I wouldn't necessarily say this first one is purely Android related, but A, I knew you were going to be on the show, Aaron, and you're passionate about Raspberry Pi.
That's
and
right.
B, it has a lot of Android hooks.
It can have.
Yeah, it can.
It can have. Yeah, and especially this new model that they just released this week. Just yesterday, I think yesterday was the official release date. I got wind of it a couple days ago. This is a really good update. People have been waiting for this. I don't know if you remember back, I did a we talked about this, or maybe I did a BYB review or something about it. Basically saying, I didn't like when they went to the B plus and they didn't do a hardware upgrade, right? They basically did a form refactor. They didn't do an upgrade. Well now, and what really bummed me out when they came out with a B plus is that, they said that there wasn't going to be a new Raspberry Pi until 2017. And it was like, what?
That seems crazy.
2017, everybody else is eating, you know, nipping at your butt trying to get a hold of this maker space that the Raspberry Pi you know, really took hold of when it first came out. And now, you know, what is this, like 5 months later or something, they've released a new, more powerful version of the Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi, should back up just a little bit. Raspberry Pi, if you don't know, is a single board computer. It's about the size of a credit card. And you can use it, hobbyists use this, makers use this to make all kinds of things. I made an FM transmitter with it. I made an old-time radio come back to life with it. I've done all sorts of stuff with Raspberry Pi. I think, Brian, you did a here it is right here. Oh, no, is that you?
Yeah,
yep, that's the main project. So I know you turned a Raspberry Pi and took an old Nintendo, Super Nintendo, right? And brought it back to life. And then you also did some MAME stuff.
Yeah, we turned it into a MAME and it worked great. We we took an old NES case, put the Raspberry Pi in there, and then we had a little system. I mean, we used the GPIO board to tie in the LED on the front of the case and stuff. It was one of my first know-how projects, and it came out awesome.
It did. It came out really, really nice. And that's what Raspberry Pi can do. Well, now they've taken that the base platform, the B-plus platform, and they've given it not just one core but four cores now.
Right.
Yeah. So this chip – and they did it in a really smart way. The chip is – virtually the same as the old chip, just with, you know, turbo basically turned on, right? I mean, all of the instruction sets and everything inside the chipset itself are all the same. So what that means is they went from an ARM 6 core to an ARM 7 core. That means you're going to have to run a different Linux kernel. But beyond that, all of your software and everything should run the same. Not only that, but now it opens up multi-core functionality. So now people can start to write software that takes advantage of four cores, parallelizes things, and it's going to run a lot faster. They've already said they're speculating it's about a 14 times jump in performance for certain applications. I saw a couple people did some reviews early on. They got some early access to some early units doing some things like, you know, video compression and rendering the desktop. It's actually now you can use it, a $35 computer, you can use it as a real desktop. I mean, it really works well. It would work great in the classroom. They also doubled the RAM. So the RAM went from 512 to a full gig now. which is great too, because a lot of times applications were getting hung up in memory, and now there's more space for them to live in memory. So so really, really good upgrade. And the fact that they kept the price the same is fantastic. So I would say if you've been holding off, you know, looking into getting a Raspberry Pi, now's the time to jump in and grab one. And there are Android images available, and Android should run a lot better on this version of the Pi as opposed to the previous version, for those reasons I just said, the parallel, the multi-core system and the additional RAM. Android really did not run well, I would say, on the B and the B plus. So this is a
so it could run setup. Like, what would you do with Android on the?
You could
on
set
the
it up as a as
like
a
XBMC or something.
Absolutely,
like that.
XBMC runs natively. You can just run that natively. If you wanted to put Android on there, though, you could set that up as your kind of like a Nexus player, right? Your own Nexus player.
Mm-hmm.
Only the in this case, you actually have an Ethernet port. Hello.
Right.
Is it fair gigabit? Enough.
It's not gigabit. It's 100 bit. No, it's 100. Not gigabit.
That's good enough.
It's good enough, though, for what you're going to do. Yeah,
I'm just
absolutely.
Super stoked because it's the same price.
It's the same
you
price.
Get,
yeah,
you just get
great.
Better all, mm-hmm. all around better. Just,
absolutely.
Just, you can't go wrong. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with the Raspberry Pi before. Now you just quad can't go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
it's quad core.
$35. You can't beat it.
Yeah, and I mean, it sold out pretty quickly. Although somebody in chat said on eBay, and I'm looking at it right now, $48 gets you one pretty easily.
And guess what? Raspberry Pi, I. Sorry.
Anything with I.
I'm trying to maintain the I theme going the rest of the show here. Come on.
You keep trying on that.
In case you guys missed it, you know, I just have to do it again. I pulled out my HTC I and I started taking a picture.
Uh-oh,
say,
here we
I
go.
Got my eye on you.
Someone it's in the chat room is pointing out, we were talking about XBMC before, it's Kodi now. They changed the name.
Oh, it's
oh.
Yeah, they finally
oh,
changed
okay.
the name.
Do you have any Raspberry Pis there, and what do you use them for right now?
Yeah, so I mentioned a couple things. So one thing I'm using Raspberry Pi for is I'm building a doorbell for our makerspace, which actually plays retro, you know, video game music and stuff on 3.5-inch floppy drives. So the doorbell is actually playing on 3.5-inch floppy drives instead of, you know, traditional doorbell, which would be much easier to do, right? But you've seen the floppy drive music stuff on YouTube, right? I mean, it's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, hey, let's do this. Number one, let's do it on the Raspberry Pi instead of Arduino. That would be fun. And number two, let's use it as a doorbell so that when people come in, they hear, you know, whatever, the Imperial March from Star Wars or, you know, the Mario theme or something like that, you know, playing as they walk in. It'd be kind of fun. So that's something I'm using it for in addition to some of the other stuff I mentioned. So it's a really great platform.
Ah, there
it's
it
very
is.
Very accessible. There we go. Mr. Solid Snake, man, he has done some incredible stuff on YouTube. He has a great set of videos out there. It's crazy.
I'm kind of blown away right now.
It's so cool.
You've
but you
seen
know,
this before,
I haven't
right?
seen this before, one. I've seen these things.
I mean, it's a little hard to hear, but you got to remember that floppy drives, I mean, what they have inside is basically a stepper motor. And all you're doing is vibrating, making that motor
they
vibrate at
scanners,
different frequencies.
Right? Scanners and printers. Haven't
oh,
they
yeah, yeah. Scanners, printers,
anything that
CNC
stepper,
machines, anything with a stepper motor, you can make it play music, which
love
is
it.
Crazy.
That's awesome.
Fun stuff. I love it.
Raspberry Pi 2, still just $35. It's awesome when they keep the price the same, too. So Samsung sent out invites officially, finally, for its Unpacked event in Barcelona, taking
same
place
day
March
as
1st.
HTC.
Oh, really?
HTC is March 1st, too.
Dun, dun, dun. That's
not
a big
sure
day. Big
was
hardware
supposed
day.
To be a public thing. Oops. Oh, well.
Oh, well. There we go. You heard it here first. Possibly.
Possibly.
Now, this is, of course, expected to be the unveiling of the Galaxy S6. It has been in the past where they've unveiled their Galaxy S devices. The invite does show a device contour that looks very similar, if not identical, to the Note Edge. If you pull up the side-by-side, I mean, they are pretty much the same thing, you know, with the heading of what's next. So, you know, this could go a couple of directions. It could be, here's the Galaxy S6, and we have a Note Edge varietal, you know, a variant.
A Galaxy Edge.
Or it could be the Galaxy S6 Edge, which is just the new S6 design. Or it could just be a fancy lighting effect. Because if you remember, the Galaxy Nexus invite had this, like, really sharp curve that made it look like the screen was practically curved like this. And it turned out it was just a lighting effect, and I mean,
but you know, we forget just, that the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus S both had a slight curve,
very
and
slight.
Now we're back at well, and the way they did it was by having the glass thicken
Yeah.
Right? It was really wonky. And, it was fragile in the middle kind of thing.
Yep.
But, you know, I think they were onto something. I'm going to be getting an LG Flex 2 very soon.
Very cool. I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about
it. It'll be under embargo, but as soon as it lifts, hopefully I'll be on the show and show it to everyone. But, I mean, you've seen the hands-ons. The hands-ons have been made public because it was launched at CES.
People are super excited about it.
that we finally are at that stage where the screens are curved and they look good. Like the original G Flex was like,
It
was a big phone, 720p display on a 6-inch. And it was kind of that kind of murky colors, you know? But the G Flex 2, it's the most exciting LG phone I've yet to play with. And the G3 is one of my favorites, the G2 prior to that too. Mm-hmm. But the G Flex 2, I tell you, I think we're back to that awesome kind of curved thing. And the thing that really...
it's kind of proving its worth a little bit.
And it's a gimmick still, right? I mean, it just looks cool. But
and particularly the Note Edge curving is a
But what they pointed out to
gimmick.
Me, it reminds me of the Galaxy Round or whatever it was. Well, one of the things that I think is exciting to me about the curved displays is that if you drop the phone flat, like this.
I forgot about the Galaxy Round. Yeah.
You get a... It basically peaks the forces on the edges. Mm-hmm. So they're able to travel inward and spread over the chassis rather than...
Concentrate on that one spot.
Yeah.
And so
that's probably the biggest advantage, I would guess.
Because of that, you're much less likely to break the glass by dropping it.
Interesting.
And let's
face
it.
Which we will have to test.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Many devices meet their fate.
Right now, not with the drop test. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know. Yes, it's still painful. I know.
Here, I tell you what. You can play with my Galaxy. I mean, my Nexus 6.
Oh, boy, and it's white even. This reminds me of the day that I owned a Nexus 6 that actually worked, that wasn't shattered into a million pieces.
As you know, I've been trying to get a review unit forever. And, I mean, Google loves me, but, you know, I'm not an Engadget or something big anymore. So it's taken me a little longer to get a review unit. But I just got it. I haven't even set it up. I'm really happy.
Yeah. It's a nice phone. I
watch
know.
Me
I
drop,
it.
Yeah, watch great. Me drop it. In
don't
like
drop
two
it.
Days.
Just don't. Yeah, don't drop it. And it, actually, if you do, then I know I'm not alone.
Do you have an update on the story?
Because I don't have an update.
Didn't you get something out with your credit card?
Yeah, they never ended up. They never ended up following through with the paperwork that I was supposed to get. And because they told me I have 120 days, that's given me full latitude to take my time with it in my mind and do the other things that I have to do.
Replacements for broken glass.
I called and they said not on the 6.
What?
Oh.
I said, sorry.
Yeah, we do, but not in your case.
So
what
you're saying is that they're just, you know, full of crap shit. Sorry.
I'm not saying that. I'm confident that they'll replace your Nexus 5 with it.
Yeah, I thought they were going to extend the six that
you're not going to have as easy a time with.
Damn, why do
I don't know. Maybe
that?
I should call back and see if I get another person and see what they say. Maybe it's one of those Comcast things where depending on who you talk to, you get a different deal.
So anyway,
but whatever.
I have a review unit. I'm happy. Now I can really put the camera through its paces. For me, it was all about the camera, especially with
the app
that we reviewed last week, the Camera FV5, which supports RAW and manual controls of shutter speed. Big deal for me.
Yeah.
And this should be interesting to compare it with the Note 4, which doesn't have Lollipop yet, so cannot use the better, improved camera interface. And native camera, which is pretty good on the Note 4, like the Samsung app.
Right, no, it is.
App.
Most people
and
say
then comparing
it's one of the
best
to in
the
Android.
iPhone 6 Plus, which I think is probably the best camera phone right now of the non-specialized camera phones. Because, you know, there's a K-Zoom.
I'm using the OnePlus camera on my
The problem with the
OnePlus
is no OIS, and it's just... you're using your OnePlus camera app?
Just the camera app, yeah. Because I recently...
I found the OnePlus camera app on the OnePlus to be so terribly laggy and horrible that I completely stopped using it within minutes. And what phone do you have?
This is a Galaxy S4.
So you have the sign.
Yeah. So this is a mod that I just put on here this week. And
do you want to show? Can we see it?
I don't know. Can you?
There we go.
It's gonna be hard to see because there's nothing really to look at this angle. But I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, I'm sure people have seen
camera.
This before, but it actually makes my tablet look better. That's weird. Because I'm in focus here and I'm not in focus down here. Anyway,
enhance.
No, I really like it. I mean, it has burst mode. It has HDR. It seems to function really well. Seems to take better pictures.
The HDR on this app is really aggressive, I found.
You found it's overly aggressive?
Overly
aggressive. Do you have any lag issues? Because on the OnePlus One with that camera app, for me, the biggest issue is I tap the thing and it just takes half a second to take a picture.
It does take. See, watch this. I'll take a picture. Now it's focused.
Well, if it's focused, that was it's focused. Try another one.
It's having trouble focusing.
Yeah, you see.
Let's try to do something that's
easier to focus. There we go.
No.
Yeah, okay, it's not too bad.
That's really quick.
Did you see that delay? Did you see that delay? There is a bit of a delay.
I don't think there was. There was.
So what about the default Google camera app? Why
it's
not
okay.
that?
It's okay.
Because I find it faster. It's not better. The image processing is kind of meh.
The thing that it may just be this ROM that I'm running. I couldn't store the images on my SD card. And I'm constantly running into the problem of I'm trying to record my son doing his band concert, and all of a sudden I'm out of space because I'm recording in, 1080p, high def, and it's, like a 5-minute video is like, whatever, 3 gigs.
Mm-hmm. So what ROM are you running on this thing?
This is a new ROM. It doesn't really even have a name. I actually put it on Google Plus if people are interested in finding out. It's GPE is what it's called. They didn't really give it a name, but it's a really fantastic ROM. It's 5.0.1 compatible. And so far, I had a little bit of glitch, and I had to redo it at the beginning. But other than that, it's been really, really good. I haven't had any problems. And, they give you a lot of options. It uses the Aroma installer when you install the mod. And so there's all kinds of stuff you can choose, like which camera do you want to run? Which dialer do you want to run? Do you want to run the Cyanogen dialer? Do you want to run the Google dialer? Do you want to run And so it's nice because it's right there in the middle where you can pick the things that you like best out of all the different things.
That's nice.
I want to run the OnePlus camera.
I love that you run custom ROMs on your main phone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's ballsy, man.
That's 2 years ago for me.
Yeah. I haven't run custom ROMs on my device in so long.
So here's the thing. I don't have a Nexus 6 yet. I'd love to get a Nexus 6. Yeah. And I cannot stand TouchWiz, right?
Yeah.
But I get this phone through my work. This was the best phone available that wasn't an iPhone because I can't stand iPhones. So I got this and I said, I know I'm going to be able to put something on there. I mean, I can support my own stuff, right? So I was running a different ROM and it was kind of buggy and not working. This one's been rock solid though.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you're interested in finding the link to it on
GPE for XDA Google Developers, Play Edition.
Google Play Edition. Right. There's a lot of that though. If you go searching for it, you won't find it. Right. Go out to, there it is right there. Go out to my Google Plus and look for that and you'll find the link to it. It's nice because this is unified too across the variants, right? The S4 variants. So if you're running on, the European version, or if you're running the T-Mobile version, if you're running it'll work on all of them. So it's really nice.
You mentioned TouchWiz and not liking it. Here's a few more little tidbits that are kind of appearing about the Samsung Galaxy S6. Take a little grain of salt with these. But first of all, Qualcomm confirms that a large customer has actually backed out. And we talked a little bit last week about how that might be happening with Samsung. So, one could assume that this means that the Samsung Galaxy S6 will, in fact, not be using the Snapdragon 810 processor.
What do you think? Do you think it's just Samsung just being like, we want, trying to put the Exynos out there in a major way and kind of giving the finger to Qualcomm? Or is it really some technical issue?
That would be part of it.
The other rumor this week, it's not related directly to Android, is that there's been an announcement made by one of the Microsoft execs that the A10 is going to end up, or it was Qualcomm exec, that the A10 is going to end up on a high-end Lumia, which has got everyone excited because Microsoft hasn't made a high-end Lumia in months, or possibly a year now almost.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that, with the LG G Flex 2 that has A10, and I've used it, it didn't overheat. I tried stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
And with, probably a Microsoft device of some kind with an A10, tells me that maybe this overheating stuff is just, not real.
Yeah.
And that it's just my theory, which was last week, which was they want Exynos out there.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
really...
Would Samsung change things so
no, they've
close
probably
to
been
their
working,
announcement?
Like,
yeah, they've
remember,
probably been
they've
working
always
on
had
for
an
while.
Exynos and a Qualcomm version of all their phones, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think the Note 4 was the first that was Qualcomm out of the box for everyone. But even the GS5 exists as an Exynos model.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the Note 3 and the Note and the GS4 were Exynos. They were Exynos models. So maybe they, from day one, decided, we're sick and tired of our dependence on Qualcomm, especially in North America.
Let's take it in-house. Bring it in-house.
Right.
Now, what about this one? which I don't know if I believe this
well,
one.
Well, I mentioned it earlier, right? The touch was being lightweight and downloadable apps.
Okay. So I missed it. You mentioned that. So do we think that this is a possibility?
Yes.
Let's hope so.
The Nexusifying of the TouchWiz.
I am being overly optimistic because I'm trying to, you know, that's my dream. It's like, yeah. I love, especially now that Samsung has really good hardware, finally, with the Alpha and the Note, these are phones that I can.
I do think their hardware is definitely getting
better.
I feel
I can finally recommend the hardware again. Mm-hmm. So now let's fix the software, which is the only thing. Remember the GS2?
Yeah.
Even though it was plastic,
it seems so not Samsung.
At the time, was the mother of all Android phones. Nothing could touch the GS2 when it came out. Mm-hmm. The Sensation tried really hard. It was made of metal, and it still didn't. Like, we were willing to look away at the plastic on the GS2 because it was just astronomically better than anything else. Mm-hmm. 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 You remember those days? TouchWiz was so lightweight. Sense was terrible then.
Yeah,
it's true.
I want to see Samsung go back to that. And honestly, right now that they're being challenged with their numbers and their income and all that, they're selling less phones and all that, the troubles they're having, maybe they're finally doing all the right things just because they're being put under pressure, right?
Do you think this will? I think it's better for users to be closer to. To have all the platforms look a little bit similar, right? I mean, no matter who you get your phone from, it would be nice if they all had kind of the same look and feel.
You
were talking about Apple before, for example. But now that customers are used to all these fancy bells and whistles, if they start dropping off features or special software.
Nobody uses those features, Aaron. Come on.
Well,
Who uses S Voice?
I don't.
Come on. In chat, who uses S Voice?
Yeah, we'll see.
Somebody?
Can somebody laugh hysterically in chat room right now? Nobody's using S Voice. So the point is, I mean, look, I agree that there are some customers out there going to be used to it. But look, they just changed the menu button to a multitask button on the GS5. That was the first one to do that.
Right.
Holy
crap. Yeah, it took them a long time to do that.
Like, can you imagine these customers used to a menu button? All of a sudden, there's no more menu button? They adapted. They're perfectly just fine. I don't see how this could be a big problem.
That's a good point.
Especially if...
It hasn't hurt HTC any to put their apps as breakout apps.
And also, you include them installed, and then you can remove them. I think that's probably a better approach. You put S Voice on there at launch, like it's in the ROM, and then you can uninstall it. Maybe, maybe that's the way to go. Because I'm not wanting to piss off the average customer that's perfectly happy with a Samsung phone. Yeah. I just want to use that awesome hardware and have it look and feel more like a Nexus.
Right.
Well, and also, you know, until they start... I guess, is the S6 going to be 32 gig by default, or are they still going to offer 16?
I really hope so.
So I do too, and that's the other thing, right?
You have to understand that is dictated by carriers primarily, right? You know that. So not with Apple, but with all the other manufacturers, that 16 gig, AT&T particularly is well known for wanting 16 gig only devices out there. So that they can kill you on the data plan by having you put stuff in the cloud.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Think about that. Their incentive. Of course, it's not ridiculous for them.
Well, no, not for them. Not for them. But it's ridiculous for users.
Of course.
I mean, so think about this. Like my S4 when I got it had almost 10 gig of the 16 gig used up just in the OS.
I remember.
Just in the OS. And so, you know, what does that give me? Nothing.
But
that's like I said, that's a 10-minute video.
At least
you can
put an SD card in there. Imagine,
but I can put an SD card in here.
Imagine a 16 gigs OnePlus One or a 16 gig Nexus or a 16 gig, what are the other ones? So HTC One M7.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I have a 16 gig Moto X review unit right now. I can't put anything on it. But I mean, that's what they gave me. I'm not going to mind. I mean, they gave me a review unit to play with.
Right.
But it's a 16 gig AT&T, no SD card.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't buy a platform, a tablet, or a phone that had 16 gig and did not have expandable storage.
All right.
Speaking of HTC.
Sorry. Yes. Let me speak about HTC. So, so HTC admits that it will miss 90-day lollipop upgrade window for the One M7 and the One M8. And I am kind of annoyed with HTC about this because they do this all the time, where they promise the updates and then it takes forever to get them. So, in a nutshell, you know, if you remember, they promise to update this device that HTC promised to update its device to lollipop within 90 days. After the official release of the OS, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they're breaking that promise. And the company announced that Lollipop rollout is making progress, but it did indeed miss that 90-day window. The window was February 1st, with 2 days past that.
Yeah.
Sadness. And again, this goes back to our conversation about Lollipop. What is going on?
Well, Google had a lot of kind of misfires out of the gate with Lollipop, right?
True.
And there were a lot of kind of updates to Lollipop that had to happen as a result of that, which, I mean, I think is just, isn't that kind of standard for a new major release of an OS? You're going to have issues that are going to require
issues, but there,
and then
there
how does that matriculate down to...
For me, at least. I mean, I talked about this last time I was on here. I mean, I literally could not use this tablet. Mm-hmm. Running 5.00 for whatever you want to call it, right? Now that 5.01 is out. But, you know, with the update, and thank you, NVIDIA, for putting out updates so quickly to the Shield tablet. But after the update, it's fine. But I literally could not use it. I was going to take 5.0 off and load the stock OS that came with it when the device was built, because it was so bad. It was really bad. So I don't know about I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but it just seems like... I know that my my son and my wife both have Nexus 4s. They upgraded to Lollipop as soon as they were able to, and they had problems with performance. I mean, so when you say that, isn't it customary that there's going to be problems out of the gate, right? You mm-hmm. expect there to be some problems, but not right. really bad. Like, I can't use my device, performance right. problems.
And then how does that affect? Companies like HTC
and Samsung,
that are doing,
they're looking at it and they're thinking, wait, let's hold off a little bit, right?
Because they don't want to release something that's
all
that's
of our
incredibly
users, right?
Buggy. Yeah.
And I find for myself, at least on my Nexus 5, the battery life issue, I don't know if it's the age of my Nexus 5 and the battery is starting to die, mm-hmm. but after Lollipop, the battery took a hit. For
that
me,
battery,
it did not get better. And a lot of people I talked to had this issue too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never been great, so it's not like... a big deal.
I'm used
to plugging in as much
difference.
As I can, but at the same time, I'm like, come on, all this Volta project, whatever.
Yeah, anyway, Project Volta. Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm pretty convinced Project Volta is almost entirely isolated to battery saver mode than anything else. Get down to a certain percentage, it turns on and like deactivates all this stuff on your phone. That's how we save you an intense amount of battery.
I have to say that Lollipop performance, I mean, like my Nexus 9, which was my first Lollipop device, I was like, I reviewed it and I was like, whoa. It's not that great considering it's running such great hardware, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I like the user experience of Lollipop, but I'm still not sold on the performance and improvements of Lollipop.
Yeah.
When I go back to a KitKat device, I'm like, oh, this is kind of refreshing.
That's what I've been doing with the OnePlus One,
yeah,
I got to say. I see that for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, I am running the Google Plus, the Google Now
launcher
so I still get it. But, yes, I do notice that. There are certain things that I'm doing on this device, you know, after having spent a couple of months with the Nexus 6 and definitely on Lollipop, where I'm like, you know, things kind of move a little bit faster.
Yeah,
but
they do.
They had a longer time to ramp up to that, and Lollipop's a brand new kind of direction, and so I suppose that makes sense. Moving on, wow, we have to touch on this real quick here. Some Google hardware news before we get to our second sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of our favorite subjects, Google Glass. you know, I'm sure you guys touched on this, but first, you know, the Glass product was completely canceled.
Right, we did.
And then, it's going to be like targeting enterprises or like, you know, companies or something. So this has been going back and forth for a little while here. You know, and Google finally is admitting that, you know, Google Glass maybe wasn't such a huge success. I mean, we all knew this, right? I mean, how successful could a product be, you know, at you know, $1,500, you know, for a small thing that you put on your glasses or wear on your face? But, you know, their chief financial officer, Patrick Pache, you know, came out and in some comments, he basically said, you know, there was a lot of hurdles. We had a lot of problems. And, you know, at some point you have to pull the plug. Or you at least have to have a gut check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is essentially my own personal translation of what he said.
He said when teams aren't able to hit hurdles, but we think there's still a lot of promise, we ask them to take a pause, take the time to reset their strategy, as we recently did in the case with Glass. And in those cases where a project doesn't have the impact we hoped for, we do take the tough calls. We make the decision to cancel them. And you've seen us do this time and time again. Now, many people point out Glass isn't necessarily a canceled or a failed project. It's just been moved out of out of the X Labs and into its own thing, and possibly, hopefully, spun into something entirely different. What that is, we don't really know.
Don't know yet.
We know that they have plans for it, but we don't know how that's going to materialize, whether we're actually going to see another head-mounted
glass unit in the way that we've seen before, or whether that technology and the information that they've gathered from that is going to end up feeding other projects that
they have. Well, and that's the key, right? I mean, I think I talked about this last time, which is the amount of knowledge and learning that Google got, right, out of the glass project. I mean, if you look at things like Google Now, right? I mean, I think a lot of the technology and software that went into Google Now came out of the glass project. I mean, there was kind of, that's where it started. They were trying to like, oh yeah, how do we do this? How can we swipe things around and get it to be visually appealing and have the content be relevant to whatever that user is doing? And now you see that in Google Now. So yeah, exactly. Even if there's not a Google Glass, the technology still lives, and it'll be interesting to see what Google does with this.
I still want my $1,500 back.
Absolutely.
Well, no, look, I love the product. I think I love the idea of the product.
Yeah.
I think it got spoiled by a lot of public perception issues. I really think that putting some sort of indicator that you're using the camera would have been a smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then the battery life. I mean, it's just almost unusable. Like, and my device was replaced about a year ago, so it's not like that old. You know, they replaced it with the updated hardware or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as the software updates came out, it's just the battery life is getting worse and worse and worse for me, to the point where now I can maybe use it for like an hour at best. And
yeah. Well, like, I mean, it's the same with smartphones, right? You get a smartphone now, and it's going to be screaming. A year from now, it's going to be a little bit slower. But 2 years from now, you're going to be like, I need a new phone. And I mean, it's the same thing with this, especially because I have the same processor as a Galaxy Nexus.
But
it's practically a three-year-old device at
this point. But I barely use the thing. How could it have gotten worse in a year when I barely use it? Well, you know?
That's a good point.
To me, it's an encouraging sign that they put Tony Fadell in charge of it, right? Because, I mean, you know, now you've got the guy who created the iPod, who created Nest, a thermostat, running with this technology. I mean, to me, that's a good indication that something good could come out of this, right?
Yep.
If anybody could take this technology and turn it into something that's, you know, incredibly useful and convenient, maybe around the house or whatever, you know, he's the guy to do it. So to me, that's encouraging.
Also, during Google's earnings call, revealed that the Chromecast is the number one streaming device in the U.S. for 2014, based on numbers from the NPD group. So that's promising. Users have casted 1 billion times, more than 1 billion times at this point. No surprise. I love the Chromecast. I'm not surprised at that at all. And then finally, and this kind of ties into what we're talking about, ties into what we were talking about with Glass. Project Tango, which was Google's 3D mapping project that centered around smartphone and tablet form factors, is, like Google Glass before, breaking out of the Advanced Technology and Projects group into its own group inside the company. Don't have a whole lot of information about what the next steps are, but this is pretty standard for projects inside ATAP, which basically they have a 2-year limit on projects inside that group.
Same with ARA.
What's that?
Same with ARA. It's coming
up. Once you hit that, And once they hit that group, they kind of they move it out into its own thing. They do this so that they can, you know, iterate fast and not get too bogged down into any one project or even any one project leader. They change, you know, the people that are running these projects every 2 years to keep it fresh and to really kind of keep themselves on their toes. So, you know, so I suppose if we're saying that Project Tango is moving into a new group to see new life, we have to say the same thing about Glass because it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's exactly what's going on here. Yet it is interesting that a lot of people have, you know, referred to, and probably on the show as well, referred to Glass as meeting its demise. And when it's, you know, it's not necessarily meeting its demise. It's just moving on to whatever the next thing is. We just don't know.
I mean, look,
exactly
the reality is that if they can make glass look like my glasses, you know, a little clunky, but like just, you know, and run for half the day, why not have augmented reality all times?
Yeah,
you
built
know?
In.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. Nobody would really know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with that? Well, I'm sure there's some people who are not going to like it. But maybe just...
I like it.
You know...
I like that.
I mean, look...
If it's built into the thing I'm already wearing.
What's the thing that Microsoft launched recently, the AR goggles, what they call it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget.
Anyway,
VR, yeah.
They're doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, the AR aspect, I want the AR aspect. Like, I want to see something that tells me that, you know, this is the street that I need to turn left on. Like, that's probably the most exciting app that I ever had, experience I ever had running my glass, was I went to New York City.
HoloLens.
When it was first new, HoloLens, thank you. Okay. When it was first new, I put it on and I actually used the GPS functionality. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool to have it like in my, kind of whisper in my ear, turn right now. And like, show me the, I mean, it was just.
Yeah, when I got it from the Google campus and drove home, you know, I had the navigation going through there. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I've got it up there. It's talking to me through the bone conducting speaker. This is pretty nifty. It was never enough, though, to keep me putting it on on all time. I used it last weekend, actually.
Yeah,
to record the moment where we told my five-year-old daughter that we were taking her to Disneyland for the weekend for her birthday.
You posted
on Facebook. Yeah, I posted it on Facebook. I didn't put it on Google Plus because, you know, some of my, like, personal family stuff, I'd rather just not put it out for the entire world to see. So I'm sorry. but you know, it comes in really handy for that kind of stuff. But I can do that with a GoPro. Like, why do I need a $1,500
But I love doing video. That's one of the things I love doing with Google.
That's one of the things I love with it.
Glass for sure.
Yeah. All right. I've talked about it many times on this show, so we probably don't need to talk about that anymore. Before we move on, let's thank sponsor of this episode. That would be HipChat. How is your team communicating? Are they using, you know, a variety of email, IM, texting, cloud storage, document sharing apps? HipChat puts everything in one place and is designed specifically for business. It's IM. HipChat is video chat, it's document sharing, screen sharing, system updates, code sharing, and it's integrated into one simple platform. Email is just incredibly slow. Meetings get sidetracked. Regular IM doesn't work well for groups. So HipChat, you know, in turn, keeps your team in sync, and it works from any device no matter where you are. Best part about HipChat is that it integrates with the top developer tools. There's tons of integrations built in. GitHub, Jira, Zendesk, and even more. You can check out all the integrations on the site. There's 57 services that HipChat plays nice with. HipChat brings your entire project and team communications together. HipChat is easy to set up. It's fun to use. Makes your team wildly productive. And you know, we actually do use HipChat here in the TWIT offices, and I know especially in the, you know, kind of our marketing departments and everything, HipChat is being used, and we have obviously we have great things to say about it. It's just super productive. It's super. It's just a great tool to get everybody kind of on board inside one environment for all of these things. It kind of keeps things very cohesive. Get your team on the same page in seconds. There's a freemium version that you can use free forever, that is. But for the next 30 days, you'll get the full version of HipChat, which also includes the bonus features of video and screen sharing. And you can try it free. HipChat free. No credit card is required here. Just visit hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. You sign up, click on Start Chatting, and then invite a few team members and try it free for 30 days. And for the first 100 signups, HipChat is going to extend their 30-day free offer to 90 days. So remember, that's hipchat.com/allaboutandroid to check it out for yourself and for your own teams. See how it works for you. HipChat, your team, your project, in sync instantly. Thank you, HipChat, for your support of All About Android. All right, we have a couple of apps to check in on, or app things, basically. App-related stuffs. Oh, piracy. So either of you use Today Calendar?
No.
Nope.
Today Calendar is a fantastic app. It was actually... you should.
Today Calendar is our sponsor.
I love Today Calendar.
No, it's, I'm not saying it for that. Oh, we actually featured it in the arena, one on episode 188. And Today Calendar apparently is being pirated a lot. Jack Underwood, who developed the app, stated that 85% of its users are running pirated versions of the app. And I feel like we're hearing more and more about this kind of stuff as a result to paid apps on Android. As a result, Jack actually added some pirate-related Easter eggs throughout the app. Things like invites that come regularly to pirate-themed parties and walking the plank. So kind of a unique take on setting this up for... maybe some nags or whatever for people who do pirate. Jack actually said, quote, "Fighting piracy in a traditional way is a waste of time. In my eyes, software will get cracked anyway. Mm-hmm. The majority of people who pirate my apps wouldn't have bought them. So it's not as if I'm losing 85% of my revenue. In any event, I'd rather spend that time making Today more awesome." And if you don't know, Today actually costs $6. So it's a more pricey app. But when you consider you know, these apps that we use daily, like, you know, my favorite Reddit app, whatever that happens to be, or your calendar or your alarm clock, these kinds of things that you go back to time and time again. I don't think $6 is too much to ask for that if you like it. There's also a free version with ads.
Well, that's okay then. If you have a free version with ads,
yeah,
that's okay.
So there's a free version with ads that people could use instead of pirating the full version.
Right.
Yet 85% choose to pirate it. What do you guys think about this? Is this money lost, or is this just more awareness because those people aren't going to buy it anyways?
No, I don't think they're going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
That's a lost cause,
mm-hmm.
right?
For sure.
But there is something about supporting the developers. I mean, I really think that, especially when there's a free version, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like this is Comcast putting this out, right? Because then you'd have an excuse, right? But I mean, this is a app developer that's worked really hard on it, and you know, you should support them. I mean, even if it's seeing a few ads now and then. I mean, it's not that much to sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
to get something for free that really works really well.
Yeah, I find it weird when people don't want to pay for apps that pretty much everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on. There's very few apps out there that are more than $10. And, you know, like, freaking $4.50 is a freaking latte in San Francisco. You clearly can afford to buy.
That's the challenge right there,
right?
Is reprogramming people's brains to think of it differently, right? In the app economy, we see $6 and we go, that's an expensive app.
Yeah.
But then you compare that to a drink,
mm-hmm.
and you go, oh, I see. So this drink that I consume one time in 20 minutes and it's gone and I paid $5 for it versus this app that I paid one time $6 for and I use it every single day for the next 2 years.
Right.
But people don't make that connection. No. They don't make that comparison. And they just end up going, $6 compared to other apps that I'm used to seeing for 99 cents is expensive. Therefore, I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to pirate it instead.
I mean, I feel
maybe
bad.
They wouldn't have paid for it anyways.
But I feel bad for devs, having been one. I mean, it's like devs in mobile right now. It's like, if you're on iOS, you're probably slightly better off. But I mean, it's terrible. Like, mm-hmm. it's all about volume, but you're not mm-hmm. going to get that volume unless you really hit the jackpot. Right.
The top 1%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a tough one because it's kind of a chicken and egg self-perpetuating problem where people are not making good apps on certain platforms because they know they're not going to make money. And
right, so they don't put in the time, because if your time isn't rewarded with a payoff at the end of the day, then what's the point in putting the time in to make a better app? And then people don't pay for the app because it isn't a high-quality app. And
here's what I'm preaching to the choir. Probably you guys here in chat and watching this, you know, are probably buying more apps than average. But you know, just try to educate people as much as you can. You know, it's like tipping. You just do it. You mm-hmm. know, just buy apps. Pay for them. You need the ecosystem to survive, and that's the only way it's going to survive.
Yeah. And if they balk, to point out the security problems with that.
That's
right?
For sure.
If you're pirating an app, it could have all sorts of malware that you're not even aware of. So best to stay with the actual original developer.
What is the piracy rate on iOS? Like, is it anywhere near what it is on Android?
Well, you need to jailbreak first.
And then,
so,
you know,
so the, and that's a huge hurdle
there. It's a huge hurdle.
You don't need to jailbreak in order to install sort of APK.
It's, you know, it's been proven again and again. And you know, the Apple pundits, you know, like Gruber, go on and on about this at length and, you know, smear it in our Android faces that, you know, developers make way more money and also Apple customers spend way more money on everything.
Right.
Whether it be apps, accessories, and you know
that's
what?
That's a big part of it. If any Joe Blow has an iOS device and the barrier to installing a pirated device is that they have to jailbreak it, that instantly filters
you down to a very small, knowledgeable
group of people that are willing to do
that. Totally. Yeah. And I think a lot of the Android community kind of like sneers at that and goes, well, you know,
that's
those
not a
iOS
thing,
people.
Actually, in that regard.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, you know, this is one thing that iOS does way better than Android.
Yeah,
you know,
I would
like
agree.
Curating the ecosystem into something that's stronger because you can pay developers to get better apps is just a super important thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you ever hear an Android user pride themselves in, you know, not falling into the Apple money trap, please slap them in the back of the head for me, because, you know, we all want Android to be better, and Android is not going to be better with freebies. Okay. This is just the reality of it. It's an economic reality. Like, you know, there's like all these crazy things happening in the Bay Area around technology, and the only way they exist is because somebody's got to pay for it at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this right here kind of proves why, you know, one big reason why in-app purchases are so sought after by developers nowadays. You know, we see it a lot in games, and it's very successful. I mean, the amount of money that developers are making for in-app purchases in games is ridiculous. Millions of dollars worth of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
But they do it because it's successful. Free install, and then you get hooked on the game, and then you buy the in-app upgrades and whatever. And
well, we know it's successful just by the amount of app commercials in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean, Clash of Clans.
Yes.
App. Yeah.
There was I think three or four. I saw at least three while I was paying attention. Different apps that had commercials in the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, you've hit the big time when you have enough money to pay for a Super Bowl commercial.
We had this on Mac Break Weekly earlier today. I was producing Mac Break Weekly, as I do every week for Leo Laporte, and they were talking about that. And they pulled up a list of the top money-making games and what they make on a daily basis. And Clash of Clans was in the millions per day.
Wow. That's crazy.
Per day.
That's crazy.
Wow. Ridiculousness. And why? In-app purchases.
Ridiculous.
And this is one big way that you kind of sidestep the piracy thing, right? It's not a matter of buying the game and now you own it, or you pirate it and now you own it. There's all these inside of the game tentacles that are grabbing
it. It's good on games, but it's hard. Like, if you do something like today, like, how do you do that with today?
Right. Yeah.
Today you're not getting your calendar.
You can add one event to your calendar today. If you want more,
you got to pay for those.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Pay for those diamonds. Those diamonds will unlock your calendar features.
You need to solve a little puzzle for us, which actually solves a bunch of captchas in the background. And then you'll get to add a new appointment to your calendar.
Oh, boy, that would not be fun. Google Now.
You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I don't know if we had time.
I'm
just going to read this the way that I read it, right, as it's written here, because it didn't come across the same way as it was meant to come across. It says, Google Now will suck in the outside app data. That's the way I read it.
I'm like, suck in.
Right. Yeah, you have to say it, you know. I wish I could say that punctuation matters, but there's no punctuation. It's just
that
the way
hilarious.
You read it.
I did not read
Google
it that
Now
way,
will
but you're
suck.
Right. In outside I wonder if that was intentional.
So I read this and I'm like, I can't believe I didn't catch this story, but it's just because I was the way I was reading the title. So of course I've read this story. Basically what's happening is Google announced that Google Now is now going to pull data in, not just from, you know, the Google apps, you know, maps and your location and give you stuff based on that, but it's actually going to pull in data from the apps themselves. So Clash of Clans, for example, right? They may pull in data and say, you know, Major Mar 567 just launched an attack on your castle, whatever. I don't play Clash of Clans. So, you know, you need to get back in there. You know, and that might pop up as a Google Now card mm-hmm. on your device. It's actually, I don't know how I feel about this. I think it's interesting. I think it may be interesting, but I think it also might be abused.
Like,
you know what I mean?
When I was thinking about this, it just reminded me of notifications.
It's an API though. Like I remember at Google I/O, they announced this.
Right.
The developers have to actively register in with the Google Now service stuff in the form.
For now, it's not
happen.
A free-for-all.
So it's right. not just going to happen randomly with some apps that you have like a pretty private silo of data in or anything.
Yeah. Right? No, in fact, they announced a select group of a few more. It says more than 30. What does that mean? 31? Third-party apps. I always hate it when they do
30
that.
And a half.
More than 30. Okay. Third-party apps, which will feed data now. So they are policing it to a certain extent. So that's true. It's a good point. But I feel like, okay, this is their first step. So I just see, you know, there's a possibility down the road that this could get abused if they do open up the floodgates, right?
I imagine. And I kind of hope, and maybe I'll regret saying this later, but I kind of hope that Google kind of has a little bit of a lockdown on who gets access to Google Now and stuff. Because I think you're right. I think there is the possibility of spamming Google Now. And I think Google Now is incredibly important to Google at this point.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, it's become one of their primary, definitely within Android.
That's what makes Google Play services worth it. I mean, I can live with, you know, another email client. It's not ideal, but I can do it.
Yeah.
But like that, no.
Yeah. So just kind of expanding on this a little bit, if you have an app that can
you know, is one of these more than 30 apps, it has to be installed on your device for anything to appear. So you have to have Airbnb installed, you know, the app installed on your device, for example, for you to see any of Airbnb's Google Now cards. You also have to specifically give permission inside Google Now under the web and app activity settings. And some examples of what you might see. Airbnb will show searched listings and dates. So you search for something and then, you know, a few days later it shows it to you. Lyft shows updates when a user arrives at an airport, for example. So you arrive at the airport, it knows you're a Lyft user and it says, hey, I can get you a car in 20 minutes. You know, that's kind of cool. eBay reminds people of items that they've bid on. Let's say it's closing in on a bid. It says, hey, you want to check in on this? Kayak shows when prices drop on previously searched flights. So it's useful stuff, but you can kind of see like in the wrong hands. Yeah. It could get really junky, and I don't want Google Now to get junky and just full of stuff that I'm like, ugh.
On the, I'm always on the constantly plus side, you know,
keeping up my house.
Right. You have settings to turn it on and off. So if an app becomes nefarious, I guess, and you know, you can probably like, hopefully there's a way to give feedback to Google and say, you know, this is really sucky.
Yeah.
They went over the line. And I turned it off. We'll see how it goes.
Because you know how to turn it off.
Well,
I know how to turn it off.
Yeah.
But, does my mom know how to turn it off?
Does your mom use Google Now?
Probably not. Yes, she does.
Okay,
and she
cool.
probably does, but she probably doesn't know how to turn off the notification. You know, you can dismiss them if you don't want to know what this football score is. You know, she probably doesn't know how to do that. So I can see this turning into kind of the Facebook game things, right, with Farmville. Like, everybody was getting notifications on Farmville. And
oh, man, I still get...
It's awful. I mean, it's just horrible. Yeah, so I hope it doesn't go that route.
Anyway, any of my Facebook followers right now, if you continue inviting me to games, I will... seriously get mad.
Yeah.
I don't care. Okay. Yeah. I'm just not going to play
them. I don't know what I've done over the
You've
months and years.
You've never sent me one.
No, I've never sent any because I don't play Facebook games. I don't know if I've ever played a Facebook game, but I used to get them a lot, and now I don't. And I think just over time, I've like ignored, and then eventually they're all ignored. So, yeah.
I don't go to Facebook anymore. I don't even look at Facebook. I post to Facebook for people that, you know.
Yeah.
So I cross-post from Google Plus, but I never actually go to Facebook unless my mom calls me and says, hey, did you see that video I posted? And then I'll actually go look at it.
Be like, oh, fine, mom. Yes. I'll log in and look at that video.
Family matters, huh? Okay, fine.
Let's take a quick break and thank our final sponsor of this episode. And, man, I love Squarespace. Squarespace.com, it's even easier to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Personally, I've been a Squarespace user for years now, and I love it because I don't have to think about how to create a website. They kind of do it for me. Then I can get in there and just kind of manicure it, give it a little bit of extra personality based on me and not be so templatized. And, you know, it's just a fantastic way to do it. This is so easy that Jeff Bridges created his website, dreamingwithjeff.com. You know, we all know Jeff Bridges. He's awesome. He's the dude. The Big Lebowski, one of my absolute all-time favorite movies. Kevin Flynn from Tron, of course. Squarespace and Jeff also teamed up to create a Super Bowl ad featuring the Jeff Bridges sleeping tapes, his album of relaxing sounds and stories that are designed to put you to sleep. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but you can check it out at squarespace.com. Yes, be careful where you listen to his tapes. If you want a great site like Jeff, and you have to admit, looking at his site is very dynamic, you can check out the completely redesigned Squarespace 7. Over 14 new designs, giving you more than 30 to choose from. Squarespace has designed templates for everything. Musicians, artists, architects, restaurants, weddings, e-commerce. I recently went in and upgraded my yellowgoldmusic.com site to Squarespace 7 and moved it over into one of the musician tailored templates, and it's even better now, and it was super easy to do. Making changes is easy. It has live editing on one screen, so it all happens dynamically, and it makes it really easy to know how it's going to look when it's sent out to the world. You can use Getty images, thousands of professional Getty images, and use them on your site. You just pay $10 each for those, and you have access to just practically an unlimited supply of awesome images to make your site even more dynamic. Social media is built in. There's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Tumblr, YouTube, Pinterest, and even more easily linked to your site. And it's just, like I said, easy to use. If you want some help, Squarespace even has live chat and email support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's inexpensive. It starts at just $8 a month, and the Squarespace takes care of hosting, so you don't even have to think about it. And your site's going to stay up, even when the Super Bowl ad happened. And, you know, how many people watch the Super Bowl? Millions upon millions. And they see the Squarespace ad and they go to Jeff Bridges' site. It didn't take it down. That's what we're talking about here. You also get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Start your own free two-week trial. No credit card required to do that. You can start building your website right away. And then when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code AboutAndroid to get 10% off. That's AboutAndroid, one word, and you'll get 10% off your order. We thank Squarespace for their support of All About Android. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. Man, I love Squarespace. It's awesome. Check it out for yourself. All right. What do you say? Should we arena-tize?
Yes.
Arena-size?
But only one lives. Android Arena.
All right. So last week we had a pretty awesome arena, if I do say so myself, and had a lot of people commenting about how all the apps were great, and I love it when it happens like that. Battery Percent Enabler, possibly the most simple app from last week's episode, wins with 40%. So put a check mark in the guest slot. That was, let's see here, 40%. Michael's, we had Michael Kreider of Android Police on. That was his app. Basically enables a percentage number in your battery. Your battery icon.
See, I always avoid those simple apps because I figure, they're too simple. It's a utility. Yeah. No one's going to vote for it. Maybe I.
You never know. Change that's up the here. Thing about so, yeah. the arena. You
What's
just
cool
never know.
About the battery percent enable is you run it once and you can delete it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It actually changes something underneath.
It changes something in the settings.
And if you want to, you can uninstall the app. And then if later you decide you don't want it anymore, reinstall it, uncheck the thing, and then uninstall it. Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But, you know, no surprise, Ron lost.
Hotel My Phone lost. I thought it was a cool app.
I don't mean that because of Ron, but because of the app. I don't know. Come
I
on.
Thought it was a cool app.
I thought it was
nifty.
Like, I like the idea, but the whole name Hotel My Phone, and it just kind of like, I don't know. There's got to be a better way to market it, basically.
Yeah, it's a little jinky, isn't it?
Well, what does FV5 stand for?
I don't know.
All
I know is it's one of the few camera apps that on Lollipop supports RAW and shutter speed capture, which is a significant thing if you're into photography on your phone. Yeah. That's all I know. I don't really care what the app is called. That's it.
Care what Hotel My Phone
is
called.
Yeah, I was going to say, you care about what that one was called.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a bad name.
It's a pretty cool feature. It's
camera just... SV5 is a bad name. Yeah. Like manual on iOS is a great name for a camera.
Yeah,
you know exactly what it does. It gives you manual settings. Done.
Yeah. There we go. So battery percent enabler, 40%. Lock, that was my app. That came in second place, 28%. Camera FV5 came in third place, 22%. Hotel My Phone came in fourth at 10%.
Full version 5.
Ah.
There we go.
Camera
still don't
full
know
version
what that
5. I don't know. So it's full version.
Okay.
It's full metal jacket.
All right.
Full version.
I'll take it.
Partial version 4 wasn't so good.
So, of last week's
fantastic
folks... Miriam, you would be the loser from last week.
Yes.
Even though you weren't the ultimate loser, you were the loser that is here. That means you go first. That's usually
how
the rules work. So you are up.
So, you know, me and apps, seriously, it's always a difficult thing. Okay, so I have an app here. Hang on. This is janky. Let me just kill it and start it again. I've got the Zoe app here from HTC. So speaking of apps.
Speaking of breakout apps, we were talking about this
apps
earlier.
You can add to your... So this is, you know, a feed of my friend Zoe's. There we go. That's
there
better. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Brian. Okay, and no reflections. So these are my friends, and they publish these. So Zoe, it's kind of, I don't know why they called it Zoe. I guess it comes from Zoe Trope.
Right.
Okay,
But it's the idea is that you take pictures and maybe short video clips, and you combine them into a video. Like it builds a video on the fly of these photos. By using, you know, nice pans and and it adds an effect so that you can get like an old timey effect, and it adds some music. They have canned music that comes with it, but they also have you can grab your music from your music library and add it to your video. So let me show you how it works. So this is a feed of my friend's videos. So like for example here, this is created by the Zoe team, and we can watch it. I don't know if the sound will work. I'm going to try to get a little closer to the microphone. And
here, you can actually plug that into the...
plug that in. There we go. And it's taking forever to load, so let me try another one. Hang on.
There you go.
There we go. Let me try this one, maybe. So hopefully this...
So it's kind of like a slideshow, but in video form.
Right. And so I don't know why it's not loading the videos, because I'm on tons of bars of LT. But let me show you how you make one. This is the most important part. So you hit the little plus button, and I'm going to pick my gallery because my recamera is not with me right now. And so I got a bunch of photos in my gallery, and I'm going to pick a few of them. This one's cool, and this one's cool, and this one, and that one. And then I've got a video here, a time lapse I did with my recamera. And so I'm going to go hit OK. And
12 clips, video length 30 seconds.
So as you can see, I don't know if it's going to do it. There you go. It's playing this clip that's created. And it's synchronizing it with the music. Now, you see how I picked the style for me? So I can go back and go, I don't like this theme. Let's pick Icelandia. I like this one. Hit OK. And it's re-rendering the video on the fly.
Okay. Gives a little bit of a filter effect.
Yeah, and look, there's like scratches and dirt.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear the music. It's a little quieter.
Can you import your own music and not just the built-in music?
Yes, so you can pick anything from your music library.
Nice.
So it's really kind of cool. And notice how it generates this kind of on the fly, which is kind of crazy. And so I can pick other music, of course. You know, you see, I can pick stuff out of there.
There you go. Browse
and,
my music.
Browse my music, etc. But, like, what blows my mind is that you just grab, like, and go, like, I'm going to pick, I don't know, some other theme, like this one. And it instantly hit OK, and it instantly re-renders the video.
That's pretty cool.
Now,
completely different
feel. And so it exports to YouTube.
Yeah.
And you can pick what you want to include, what you want to exclude, what kind of panning you want. Like, you can drill into the details.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you share
the beauty of it is that it's simple, so that you don't have to drill
into
the
details. When you share it, by default, it goes to the Zoe service. They have HTC has their own service for Zoe. But you know what? You don't need to do that. You can just export it as a YouTube video and put it on your own YouTube channel. Nice. It lets you do that. And I like it. Every now and then I get to see some cool videos. My friends, like, if you have, like, you've gone for some trip somewhere for the day, like a road trip for the day, you've taken a bit of video and a bit of photos. And, you know, on those HTC phones, you can actually capture what they call a Zoe, which is like a picture with a six-second video surrounding it.
Yeah.
So these all get usable. Like, the app is a little smarter when you're on an actual HTC device and actually lets you grab those as MPEGs. So... I don't know. I think it's cool. It's a great way to quickly create a video that summarizes an event in your life based on photos and videos you took. And it just creates this. It's beautiful. And there's so many choices of filters. And what I'm really excited about is it renders it at 1080p in real time. Boom. And then you can export it to a YouTube video. So YouTube, I've done a few
Facebook,
of them. Check my YouTube. There's a bunch there. But
And
then, you know, it's also a bit of a social network. You can share and like and...
Does it, so I imagine it's free. It's an HTC
it's
app,
free,
so it's free. Does it end up watermarking at any point? Because I know, like, with Google Plus,
right.
It creates videos that are similar like this, videos and you know, compilations
and
stuff.
The auto awesome? Yeah, it does
it automatically. But then one thing they started doing a while back is that they put the big watermark at the end, and, you know, like the last five seconds,
you know,
is the Google thing, which I'm always like,
I haven't noticed any wonkiness like that. I think they might be at the end just like a, you know, created with HTC Zoe or something.
Yeah, right.
But it's not like...
It's not the end of the world. But
it's not,
yeah,
and
it's
you
free.
Know what? The thing is that YouTube, you can just edit that out.
Yeah.
Once you export it, right? So, I don't know.
Deal with it.
I don't use it often, but it's there. And like if you're... You know, if you're just doing a lot of little trips and you don't have the time to really manage importing the content and creating an iMovie project or a Premiere project and cutting it down to a great video, like this will kind of give you most of the experience for in seconds.
Yep.
And you can give it share, at least with your family and friends, you know, if you don't feel like it's pro enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like.
Sweet.
Yep.
I like it. That's Zoe, Z-O-E.
Oops, sorry, fine.
Yeah, it's all right.
There we go. Zoe.
Boom. Excellent.
by HTC.
And it's but it works on other devices besides HTC?
Yeah, so this was on a Nexus 5 just now.
Okay.
So it's just an APK. You can just
Samsung, do this. Do this. Break out your apps. And then if people really want to use S Voice, they want to use it on whatever device they are.
Yeah.
Great. Right. And if they don't, they can uninstall it from your devices.
Right.
See?
Right.
HTC's that's the way to go. Doing it right there as far as I'm concerned.
What you got here?
Yeah, what you got.
Are you ready?
What
you
got? Yes.
So, boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, we mentioned this on the year-end roundup show, whatever, mm-hmm. that I was on. I think you had said that you had installed it.
And I hadn't played it. And I still haven't played it.
You haven't played it. You're missing out. You're missing out, Jason.
I know. Okay, there's just too many games.
So this game is called Galaxy Trucker. And you know, I'll play a little bit in a minute. But more importantly, the app is $4.99. And some people may say, wow, $4.99. I thought you were just talking about having free versions of apps and all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you in a minute why that's so great. Whoop, there's the light. I'm going to tell you in a minute why $4.99 is so great. But let me tell you a little bit about this game. It's based on a board game. Also called Galaxy Trucker, if you couldn't figure that out. Very popular board game, and it's a lot of fun. It's a tile pulling and matching game mm-hmm. combined. And then, so basically, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make a spaceship out of junk parts. And then you have to fly that spaceship on a short mission where things happen. Asteroids come at you, you run into aliens, have to go mine resources off of planets, you know, and you get to the end and you see who got the most stuff, right? Who did the best with their ship. And that's basically what it is. It's a really fun game. You don't really have to know how to play the board game to play this game, which is great because they did a really awesome tutorial. I'm actually going to skip into the campaign. But the tutorial will take you through everything you need to know to play the game, and it does it in a really simple way. I'm just going to give you a quick look at what this actually looks like. So I'm going to say I'm going to take this route. There's other computer opponents, artificial opponents that I'm playing against. I've got my ship layout down here. I don't know if you can really see it. It's pretty hard to see, but I've got some squares. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drag these tiles down. And as I drag them down, they're going to flip over and show me what they are. I don't really need an engine right now, so I'm going to keep going, looking for parts that I might need. Maybe I need this little connector part. You drag it down and you place it on your ship, and you can move the parts around and stuff. And basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to design a ship that's very well-rounded. So that you'll do really well on the mission. I'm not going to play a whole one now. But basically, you fill out all these squares to the best of your ability. You put in guns. You put in engines. You put in crew cabins. You put in some aliens to help you out. And then at the end of the day, you go fly your ship and do a mission. And so it's really, really, really fun. The other good thing that makes this a really good app is you can I'm going to go ahead and exit out of that. The other thing that makes it a cool app, and I don't know if they have a video on the Google Play site or not that shows the app, some more of the gameplay, but you can play online. So you can play against other people. Either you can do pass and play, you can log in. They've actually implemented their own network, which is really good, so that you can log into their network and play people across the world online. Works out really, really well. And my family's been having a lot of fun. So my kids have installed this, and we're playing against each other. There's a lot of strategy involved. It's a really, really fun game. I think everybody should check it out. Now, back to the price. So why is $4.99 not such a bad deal? Well, if you go out and buy this game in a board game store, it's going to cost you $60.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's an expensive board game. It's an expensive, and it has a ton of pieces that you have to pick up when you're done playing. So
so it's messy.
It's not just expensive, but it is messy. It's fun to play with real components. I get that. But they have implemented this game for mobile devices really, really faithfully and really well.
So when you play with your family, do mm-hmm. you play live kind of in the same room on your own devices
at the same time? Yeah, yeah. You can play against people on their devices, and you're each seeing your own screen. There's a feature where you can kind of peek at how the other person's doing. You can see, oh, they're almost done. I've got to hurry because there's an advantage if you finish building your ship first and so on and so on. But so you're actually playing. It's not only pass and play. You're actually playing online against each other in real time. And nice. It's a lot of fun. So if you like these types of games, a little bit different than your typical shooter mm-hmm. that you might be used to, or other puzzle games, that really simple puzzle games. This one's a little more advanced, but it's well worth the $5. That you're going to pay for this game.
And the construction part that you showed us, that's yep. just one piece. You're just basically building your ship.
Yeah.
And then you end up taking it out and competing against
exactly.
the other players
exactly.
with that.
I think the way they describe it is, you know, you're a trucker in space and you don't have a ship, but there's a warehouse full of parts.
So you're going into that warehouse and you're putting, taking those parts out and putting them together to build your own ship so that you can go on this mission. And, you know, whoever builds the best ship typically, not always wins, but typically wins. There's a lot of strategy to it. I think people will really enjoy it if they like this kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yep.
Excellent.
So now you've got to dig it out and
now
play.
Now I have to find time to play it.
Yeah. Ugh. See?
Too Sounds many games. Cool, though. It's really nerdy in it a is great really way. Oh, yeah. I'm totally going to get into it.
And the artwork is really, you know, kitschy and fun.
Right.
And, you know, the aliens look ridiculous, and it's a lot of fun.
Sounds just, it sounds like it's just a solid kind of version of it the is. Actual.
It is.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Excellent. Galaxy Trucker. And
what you got? What you got?
That's $4.99. Mine's pretty easy. Mine's called At Hand Tuner Wearable Tuner. So this is an Android Wear device or Android Wear app.
Oh, cool.
Rather, it actually first of all, it's its own app, so it does have its own app component. And this is a guitar tuner, essentially for musicians.
Sweet.
I meant to get. I think we have a small guitar somewhere around here, but whatever. It's not a big deal. Oh, so you can see I'm very very sharp D. So this is the phone version, but I think what you're seeing here isn't probably the most ideal guitar tuner. It's not super impressive on the phone, but they do have a phone version of it that ties into the Wear version so that, you know, if this is all you have, it's usable. But where it's kind of cool is the Android Wear version.
Nice.
Go here, and what's kind of neat about this is it's using the microphone on here. So if I'm playing guitar, you know, I could just have it done like that. I think this is kind of cool, though. There's a mode on it, which I'll take it off here in a second. There's a mode on it that essentially allows you to rotate it. Ah. Am I showing this off? Yeah, I am. Okay. I forgot to look on the screen.
Nice.
Now, what you do with this is you take it off of here, and then you put it on the neck of your guitar on the very top. You strap it around the top of the guitar.
Nice.
And like I already have, I have a snap-on tuner for my guitar that attaches at the very same place. So it might not necessarily be totally beneficial on a daily basis, but it's kind of one of those apps that if you have it installed and you happen to be, let's say, at your friend's house and they have a guitar but they don't have a tuner and you want to play the guitar or whatever, it's basically you have a snap-on guitar tuner built into your watch, and you can just loop it around the very top of your guitar.
Nice.
And through the resonance, you know, in the microphone,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to give you a pretty solid, sharp tuning for your guitar.
And it's two apps for the price of one.
I suppose so. It's kind of the same app on two different screens.
Yeah, but, you know. So you've probably, because you play music, have you found other tuners on Android? And
there
are they any good? Or
there
is
are
this,
a
like,
lot.
Why specifically this one? Just because of the
I
Android
I like this
Wear?
One because of the Wear integration.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's pretty neat that you can just strap this on, you know, because you'll pay $20, $30, $50 for a tuner that does this, that's, you know, clips
onto
your
guitar. So I play bass. I'll try. Does it have a bass mode?
You know what? I don't. Oh, wait a minute. It has, what it does have is reference frequency. So you could set your reference frequency to a lower frequency, and that'll probably attenuate
awesome.
It. And you can also change change your sample rate if you want to. Personally, I'm not quite sure exactly why you'd want to do that with a tuner. I'm sure there's a reason. I've just never had to do that before. But I just, you know, on just straight up guitar, I had good luck just with it in its normal mode. And there are a lot of tuners, guitar tuners on Android. Tunable is one of my current favorites. I did an episode of Android App Arena a few weeks back, Tools for Musicians, and I covered that one. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. It's like a tone generator tuner.
Yep.
It's got a record mode on it. But some of them just aren't as easy to read as others, and some of them aren't as accurate
as
others.
This is nice.
I like how it's built
nice
into the
big.
Watch.
It's nice and big.
Yeah. It just seems like it's perfectly, perfectly matched for kind of the watch
form factor.
The form factor, exactly. So it's called At Hand Tuner. That's all one word. ATHANDTUNER, wearable tuner. And it's cool. It's $1.45. Small price there, but.
It's 45 cents too much, Jason.
45?
Is that a.
46, because I like it at 99 cents, but.
Is that a conversion ratio thing? Is it like a.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
European thing, and that's just what the conversion happened to be? It's
probably.
Kind of a weird.
I have to imagine that's probably what it is. I'm trying to see if there's any information. Gotberg.
Yeah, where's Gothenburg?
That's Sweden, right?
Yeah,
that's
is that Sweden?
It's got to be some sort of Scandinavian.
It's Sweden. You're Sweden. Right. Yep. So then it is a conversion.
Got to know your geography, kids. Got to know your geography.
Good right. job. I'm horrible at geography, so I'm happy that somebody here does. And low amount of installs, really low amount of installs, 100 to 500. So there we go. I like shining a light on an app that doesn't have very many
it's
eyeballs.
It's going to become super popular. You're going to destroy their servers.
You're going to get like 200 more yeah. installs.
It's new, right? I mean, it looks like
yeah,
it's new.
Oh, it's pretty recent.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard.
Yeah. But just by looking at the play page.
I think App Annie would give us an accurate idea as far as when it launched, but probably not
yeah.
much older than a month or two, yeah. I would guess.
Oh, that's great.
So there you go. If you're a musician, you might like it. All right. So three apps this week. Zoe. Which is a free app, Galaxy Trucker, $4.99 for an awesome board or card yeah, game board turned game, yep. Digital game on your Android device. And then At Hand Tuner, wearable tuner for $1.45. You can place your vote. Let us know which is your favorite. AAAPoll.com/199.
What's happening here?
AAAPoll.com/199. And where are we at with this? Let's refresh.
Have a look.
Yeah.
Load.
See here, Galaxy Trucker looks, appears to be, well, Galaxy Trucker and Zoe are kind of first and second right now.
Ha!
It's early days. It's early days here in the
app. That's what we always say. You can't judge the poll based on on day of, because it always changes over
time. I voted
time.
For myself.
That's what you do. That's like the first thing I do.
Yeah,
there's no shame in voting for your own app. Because, I mean, you're the one that brought it, right? That means you like it. So.
I kind of was like more like, oh, it's 5 minutes from the show. I should find a good app.
I think it's more shameful if you voted for somebody else's app than other than yours, right? If a host voted for, like if I went and voted for Zoe, that would be more shameful than voting for mine.
That would be, I thought I had a good app, but boy, did I not have the best app.
This wasn't too good.
That's like conceding defeat.
Yeah.
That is it for this week, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And thanks to both of y'all here at the table for joining me on set. I really appreciate it.
Always glad to join.
That's absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
It's always fun. 2 weeks in a row.
That's right.
Insane.
Boom.
Boom.
It's madness. Miriam, what you got going on in the last week or beyond?
Well, so, you know, you can find me on Twitter at Tankgirl. It's Tankgirl without the vowels, T-N-K-G-R-L. My blog is tankgirl.com, tnkgrl.com. Nothing much has happened there since last week. I'm still way behind on my video editing. I've got like 8 reviews to edit.
Yeah.
But the good news is I'll be doing a podcast this week with a special guest. So stay tuned. That's happening at some point. And that's it, really. Not too much new for me.
Radical. Tankgirl, TNKGRL.com.
That's right.
Do it. And then, Aaron, what you got going on other than probably playing with a Raspberry Pi 2 when it
arrives? That's right. That's right. You know, I've got a lot going on. Actually, you can find me on Google Plus. I'm Aaron Newcomb on Google Plus. Talk about all sorts of things Android related, but also maker related and open source related. I talk about all those things there. So if you want to follow me, you're always more than welcome. And sometimes I get a nice massage.
What?
You know what that was? That was so cool. It's one of those, it's filled with rice.
Uh-huh.
And you put it in the microwave and it warms up in like a minute and then it stays warm for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, really?
If you got sore shoulders or lower back problems or whatever. I mean, my wife used one of these when she was pregnant. I guess she really liked it.
Can you reuse it? Or?
Yeah, you can reuse it over and over again.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
But you're not cooking the rice when you...
It's dry rice.
Oh, okay.
It's dry rice. And it absorbs the heat and holds the heat because it's protein, I guess.
Interesting.
And and then when you're done, you put it back in the bag.
They have ones with barley in them.
You can make your own. That was the point of that post was go make your own, right? Go get a sock.
Mm-hmm.
Fill it up with rice. This is the project of the week, folks. Go get a sock, preferably a clean one.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. You don't want to microwave a dirty sock.
No, you know. That's especially if
filled
it gets,
with rice.
That's just nasty. So fill it up with rice. You know, tie off the top, put a knot in it or something. So you've got this nice little sock filled with rice. Put it in the microwave for a minute. Take it out and put it on, you know, if you're sore from exercise or whatever, you need a little bit of heat therapy, it's perfect. And it costs you less than $3.
Or you can buy it in the store for $69.99.
And if you don't have seat heaters in your car, I do, but if you don't, just do that. And
just do that.
Put it
absolutely
in your lower back on a long drive that's when right it's still cold really in the car. Idea. It feels great.
It works great. It works great. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff I talk about online. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on Floss Weekly talking about a really cool new imaging software package for Linux, open source software package. I think it maybe runs on Windows too. We'll find out tomorrow morning. That's on Floss Weekly, so you can follow me there as well. One last thing to get in. I know it's a long show. If you're in the Bay Area and you'd like to go to a Maker Faire, check out the Benicia Mini Maker Faire on March 28th. That's the event that I'm running in conjunction with Benicia Mini Makerspace. So come check that out. It's going to be a blast. We're working on getting some really great speakers. We've already got a lot of submissions for people doing cool projects. You're not going to want to miss it. Come nice check it out in Benicia.
Cool. Fantastic.
Yeah. Good stuff. You, Aaron.
Good stuff.
Always great to have you on. Brian, what about you, sir?
Not too much going on.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Think really hard.
Is there something I'm not aware of?
No, I'm just trying to throw you off. Sorry.
I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's where you go, yes, you're fired.
Sorry, Brian. What's up?
It's like pretty much the same thing every week. You know, doing something weird with Padre on Thursdays, doing know-how. But actually, you know what? You know what, Jason? Maybe I'll throw out my Squarespace site out there for once.
You should.
Talked about that.
There you go.
You should.
This ooh is a site I made just to kind of show off some of the motorcycle stuff that I do and kind of keep it all together so I don't just post it all on one social network. But yeah, you know, if you want to check that out, it's motoride.in.
Motoride.in.
I love your
riding.
I love your motorcycle ridden stuff, Brian.
Thanks,
it's
man
awesome.
Yeah, it's something I like to do in my free time. But nice. Yeah. So
nice.
I think is there anything else I should talk about, Jason? I don't remember.
I think you covered it. You okay talked about the thing that I was alluding to, which was your site, you know, totally.
I think
what are you doing?
I'm about to be attacked. Hurry.
End the show. Hurry before we get attacked. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. You can follow my musical exploits at yellowgoldmusic.com. You even had it cued. Oh, you're so great. Programming note that next Tuesday is episode 200. I kind of can't believe it. Kind of crazy. But, you know, Ron will be back. We have Shannon Morse booked for the show. I think we might even be able to get a couple of quick appearances from Gina and Eileen because, you know, wow, they were once hosts and now they're no longer hosts. But, you know, it's okay because they come exciting back every 100 episodes and say
that's
hi.
Right, that's so right. At least every 100 episodes.
So there we go. Episode 200. I'm not really quite sure exactly what we're going to do other than that. But, you know, we'll probably talk about Android a little bit. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us today. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email or a link to a video. That becomes a video mail when you do that. It's AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're on Reddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. So many A's to remember. We are on Google Plus. We have an awesome community there. Search for it. You'll find it. Show notes and past episodes, of course, at our site, twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes. And every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. You'll see us live recording the show. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.